I think what we have seen, particularly since 2013, is a huge number of people coming to the pro-life campaign and, you know, really saying that they want to get involved, because the more and more they see of people trying to promote abortion, push a pro-choice agenda in the media and elsewhere, they react very strongly against that. And we did find that after 2013, after the 2013 legislation, we had a huge number of people coming to us saying we want to get involved, and that continues right up to the present day. I mean, I was in the office yesterday and new people were calling, and they just call out of the blue and say, I want to get involved. Somebody, I think, put it very well the other day when they just said it's time to speak up. And that's how they feel. People feel that this is the time to get involved, and it's kind of now or never, really.
Yeah. And, you know, but on the other side, I mean, it's coming in, like, Ireland is being called to question in terms of human rights, in terms of reproductive rights for women and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of people speaking up on the other side, too.
There are, and I think that the whole idea that abortion would ever be put into the category of human rights is a very questionable one, because what are we talking about when we talk about abortion? It's the ending of a human life, and, you know, it's somebody making a value judgment on someone else. For whatever reason, they're saying this human being who is already in existence, who's already living within the womb, can have their life ended. So that's not human rights. That's a real mangling. It's a real misinterpretation of what human rights means. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights in its preamble talks about protecting every member of the human race. And very interestingly, it doesn't distinguish between born and unborn members. That's something that, you know, groups like Amnesty forget, and conveniently forget, I should say, when they are promoting their own pro-choice agenda. So, you know, human rights means human rights for everybody, and we need to remember that.
Mm-hmm. And yet, I mean, you know, when you hear different people's stories, they can be very tragic. You know, if somebody's raped, or if it's fetal abnormality, or, you know, a case of incest or something like that. I mean, I suppose you tend to hear the extreme stories, but it can be very harrowing for people to find themselves, and very frightening for people to find themselves in that situation, and maybe feeling trapped in a country like Ireland.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what's important to remember is that in the tragic situation of a woman who is raped, or who finds herself dealing with a difficult diagnosis where her baby has got a terminal illness or got a very serious condition in the womb, I don't think it's a case so much of that woman and her family being trapped in Ireland. They feel trapped in the situation, because that is very understandable. I mean, I think there is a sort of an idea that pro-life people they don't understand that, and that's simply not the case, because many people involved in the pro-life campaign are coming from that side of things. They've actually been through those experiences, and they have in some cases rejected abortion. In some cases they've been through abortion and they saw that it didn't improve their situation at all. It only added new problems. And for that reason, they're now involved in the pro-life campaign. But certainly I can totally understand why somebody would feel in the most desperate human conditions of all that abortion might be a way out, because we all look for a way out in those circumstances. I suppose what we have to try and remember is that when you're dealing with a trauma like rape, abortion is not going to take away the fact that the woman in question was raped. Abortion itself is a trauma. And if you listen to any of the testimonies of women, like the women in Women Hurt, those are available on their website, which is www.womenhurt.ie, those women are not saying that abortion is in any way any kind of a solution or a comfort when you're dealing with trauma. It just adds further trauma. And I don't think that that's something that we should be promoting to women, even, and, you know, especially when they're dealing with their most traumatic times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, I suppose the problem often is, as you say, you have people who maybe have an abortion and maybe regret it. But then, you know, other people come back and say, well, look, you know, I had an abortion and it was the right thing for me to do.
That's true. And, you know, I'm always very, I am very careful to say to all of those women, again, because they feel there is this idea out there that pro-life people judge women who've had abortions. That's simply not the case. I'm always very relieved when I hear that women have recovered from their abortion or from the trauma that abortion can bring, or that they don't experience it. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge the fact that for a huge number of women out there, abortion does bring serious trauma. It brings terrible regret and sadness. And I think that certainly in the debate in Ireland, those stories of abortion regret are being sidelined, because all we want to hear is this idea of abortion relief, almost, that I was very relieved when I had my abortion. Now, that's fine, and that's good if a woman feels that she has recovered, but let's not silence the women who feel very sad and traumatised still by their abortion many years later, it has to be said. And, you know, there has to be room in the debate for them. It's very difficult for them to come forward if all they're hearing in the media is how great women feel after abortions, because then they almost feel that there's something even more wrong with them, that they feel traumatised about it. So let's give room to everybody to tell their experiences. And I think that the public will benefit from hearing every story, not just the ones that are maybe bring comfort to the rest of us, because obviously we don't want to feel that women suffer as a result of their abortions, but that's something that we all have to face as a society.
And I mean, you know, many people have said that if society were more child friendly, or as you say, maybe target the root causes of why people have abortions rather than seeing it as a solution, that the numbers of abortions would decrease themselves naturally.
I think there's certainly a lot to be said for that. I mean, I'm always very surprised when I hear some politicians in the Irish debate calling for abortion as some sort of solution to women who are too poor to have another child. That doesn't make sense to me, because surely what we should be asking for, and we should be demanding as women and as men, and, you know, just as people who live in Ireland, we should be demanding a proper standard of living so that people are not faced with a situation where they can, where they feel that they can't afford to have another child. That's not what we should be, what we should be promoting. We shouldn't be saying you should have the option to have an abortion if you can't afford a baby. Instead, what we should be saying is, if you are pregnant with a baby, we are going to support you, and we're going to give whatever supports are necessary. And that means looking at a whole range of different things, like proper childcare supports, proper maternity leave, paternity leave, and just ensuring that people feel that they're part of a society. Because I really think that that is one of the biggest issues in this debate, that sometimes women feel that they and their families are alone, but very often the woman herself can feel completely alone and that she has no one to turn to. That's something we need to address, and abortion does nothing to address that. It just puts all of the responsibility on her shoulders, and I don't think that that's fair, because it's such a huge and awesome situation for her to find herself in.
Yeah. But on the other hand, when people have to travel to England, and some people wrote in their stories that maybe if they'd been at home, they might have given it a second thought, or if they'd had counselling or whatever. But once they'd made the journey to England, they sort of felt they had to go through with it because they'd made that journey. So whereas if you had something available in Ireland, that maybe ironically you'd actually reduce the number of abortions, because people would have more time to consider it or more time to think about it.
Well, I suppose that is really the part of the reason why we are so determined to protect the Eighth Amendment in Ireland, which is the amendment to the Constitution which guarantees the equal right to life of the unborn child and his or her mother, simply because what we have found is that there are tens of thousands of people alive in Ireland today because of the Eighth Amendment. Now, I don't think that's any exaggeration, because if you think about it, and this is coming from people who've actually told us, they've come to the pro-life campaign and said, this is my experience, where people made an appointment in the UK, in England, Wales, elsewhere for an abortion. The time that it took them to make that appointment and to travel, maybe they couldn't get a flight for 2 days, it just gave them time to sit back, think about their decision, and change their mind in many cases. And what many people say is that because of the Eighth Amendment, because I wasn't able to have an abortion in Dublin on the day that I decided to have it, I had 2 extra days to think about it. I had time to think about my finances, to really, you know, convince myself that I could do this. And my child is alive today because of that. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's a life and death decision. So I think sometimes the idea of travelling for an abortion is, it becomes part of the campaigning slogans from those who want to see abortion introduced here, without really looking at what that journey can equate to, because the reason that you have to wait, the time that you have to spend waiting for a flight maybe, can be the difference between life and death for some people living in the country today. But if we're going to have a debate that looks at what Ireland would be like and why we should be introducing abortion, then let's have a look at the countries that have introduced it and see how they're getting on. The rate of abortion in Ireland, while any abortion is a tragedy, one in every 19 pregnancies in Ireland ends in abortion. But in the UK, it's one in every four. That's like a staggering figure when you think about it. When you think about your four best friends, one in every four of them, one out of them essentially wouldn't be here. That's the statistics in the UK. So, you know, those kind of things are quite frightening.